Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you. I hope this finds you doing fabulous and really continuing to focus on what's beautiful in our world. You know, just focusing on what's beautiful and continuing to attract more of that into your life. And of course, continuing to expand your consciousness. And that said, going into today's episode, I want to warn you ahead of time, there is a lot of information in today's episode, which is also really great because it provides additional insight on why healing can feel a bit complex. It also touches on several areas of life, including, of course, health and releasing pain, but also relationships and how that can all actually be intertwined with making money or holding you back from making money. And so there are a lot of things going on in this episode. And my best suggestion ahead of time is to really just take a few key things that apply to you, because it's not all going to apply to each person, but there'll be a few key nuggets. And so my best suggestion is to listen for those and really embrace it into your mind for your own expansion and well-being. And so that's ultimately my best suggestion. And again, as I mentioned, not everything is going to apply to every person. So if you think about the last episode, that's what we're doing, is we're picking up where we left off from the last episode. And as a recap, I had been working with a volunteer by the name of Amanda. And if you recall, she had extreme pain in her foot. She had had surgery, and yet this pain was still there for years. And when she stood, it got even worse. And so she was having about a level between 8 and 10 of pain. So it was extremely painful. And also, she had a lot of pain in her shoulder. Anytime she tried to move her shoulder, it shot up level 6, 5, 6, somewhere in there. And so she was having a lot of pain. Now, if you recall, on the last episode, she was able to bring the foot pain down from like a 8, 9, 10 down to a level 5. And so what we had started talking about was hiding her relationship and feeling guilty for being in a gay relationship. And so having all of those feelings about it. Now, if you recall on the last episode, the reason I paused it where we did, I wanted to really break this into pieces, because ultimately, a lot of people feel stuck by conformity, if you will, you know, a feeling like they need to conform. And if they're their own person, it makes it hard, or people won't like them, or people will be mad at them. And by the way, if they're like others, then others will accept them more. So a lot of people will feel that, either in general or just about specific topics. And so that's where we left off with, was really the courage to be you. You know, the reality of it is that there's no freedom like the freedom from conformity, to just be you. So in Amanda's case, she's living in a gay relationship and hiding it for 17 years. And that's what was going on and connected to her health so far. So there's some other things, again, money's coming in, jobs coming in, relation. I mean, there's other pieces that are coming in. But point being is that it was about being gay and hiding it, feeling bad and guilty and like she was doing something wrong. And what I love for her is she got to see viscerally that it was okay. Meaning that her pain in her foot was 8, 9, 10. And when she started taking in that it was okay to be gay, her pain shot down to a level 5. So it almost went in half just from really starting to take that in that it was okay. So she got to really experience that. And I love that just because she could actually see, you know, instead of going back and forth in her mind over and over, she could see that even universe, her body, everything was actually giving her the message that it was okay. And I love that she got to experience that. And, you know, we had also talked about her starting to feel like, you know, she had been feeling like people would hate her. And so we kind of touched on that, and we're going to touch on that even more coming up, because a lot of times when people have a hard time with being themselves or feeling stuck to conformity, part of that is feeling like others won't like you or they'll hate you. And the reality of it is that, you know, if we're attracting people into our lives who don't like us for that reason, of course, that's something that we're attracting. And the other thing you want to keep in mind is that ultimately it is their issue. Like, it's a misbelief that they have. You know, they were there out of alignment and they don't understand ultimately that diversity is good and embracing that diversity is good for all of us. You know, we need that freedom of conformity, and we're going to talk a bit more about why that is, but we don't want people to feel like they're going to be hated for being themselves. And, you know, that was something else we touched on last time, as we touched on Ellen winning more People's Choice Awards than anybody in history, and even after people knew that she was gay. So I love that. And, you know, getting rid of that feeling of feeling like people are going to hate you or people are not going to accept you for being different. And again, don't get me wrong, I've shared in the last one, I had things not only about spirituality, you know, where I thought, oh my God, if I'm checking into energy and I'm woo-woo and stuff like that, that people aren't going to like me. So I had that in my mind, that it was too far out there. It was weird. And so that was something that I was a bit concerned about. Not only that, but of course, also when I came out as gay, and I came out when I was 18. And what's really funny when I look back on it, is that, you know, I had been raised Lutheran, and when I noticed that my thoughts weren't heterosexual, I started, you know, thinking, oh my God, God is going to strike me down. I'm going to walk into a church and I'm going to get struck by lightning, or, you know, I had all these, like, I'm just screwed. That was really how I felt. And so I went through several years of being pretty much atheist, where I was like, there is no possible thing is God, and if there is, I don't want to know because I'm going to be in trouble. And so that was my way of thinking up until my injury. And now I'm obviously, my life has completely changed, and I went from being so afraid of God and wanting to avoid God, universe, divine, whatever you want to call it, to literally living with God, universe, divine as a constant source of energy and connection in my life. And so obviously a radical shift there as well. But, you know, anyways, going back to where we left off, the freedom from conformity is really where we left off, and being able to be yourself. And as we step into today, we're going to embrace that even more. We're going to, again, touch on several subjects, what has to do with the relationship piece, and then also how that is impacting work and money. Because again, I see those tied together in many different ways. It's actually more common than people realize. And so that's where we're going to go. Lastly, I had mentioned another thing in the last episode where there was this point where she was feeling a lot of fear and feeling really nervous and all this. And I just had to simply bring in and say, you know what, my name is Amanda and I feel safe and supported, or, you know, something to that effect. And she felt really relaxed. And I told you there's a reason for that on why it worked to calm her energy. And I always want to be transparent with you as to why that worked. And so there's more to unfold there. So this episode has some twists and turns more than any other episode. And so you'll want to just make sure to listen to all the pieces and take what applies to you. And I would say a lot of people might take some pieces of information from that connection with relationships and money. So anyways, that's where we're going. As a final reminder, where we left off with Amanda is that she had gotten her pain down to a level 5 in her foot, which was really awesome. And we're going to start working on her shoulder a bit more as well. And so that's where we're going. And let's go ahead and dive back in with Amanda. Okay, I got to tell you, I understand it. I understand it completely. Been there, done that. I thought when I came out, I was 18. Okay, and technically it was like my first girlfriend was before age 18, but she was older and I felt like, oh my God, my parents are going to freak out. It's going to be terrible. All of these things. And so after I turned 18, that was the plan. I was going to invite them over to my girlfriend's house. We lived together as roommates, and I was going to invite them over for dinner, invite my dad over for dinner, and then I was going to tell him, right? So that was the plan. And inside my head, I was like, oh my God, my whole family's going to hate me. I'm not going to be able to see my siblings because they're all younger, except for one, but the rest of them are all younger. And I was like, they're not going to let me see them. They're going to think I'm a bad person. And then I'm just going to be like ostracized from the family and all of these things. And I can't imagine. Then in my head, I was literally like, and my brother, my youngest brother, I'm like, oh my God. And he's only, I don't know, it was something like 10 or 11 at the time. I'm going to not be able to see him anymore. Like, this was all of the stuff that was going on in my head. Right. And so I was like, this is the worst thing in the world. And I wish I was just straight and this would be easier.
Yeah.
And so that's what was going on in my head. So then I get the courage up to invite my dad over for dinner because my parents are divorced. And I got the courage to invite him over for dinner. And this was like a week or two after I turned 18. And so he came over for dinner and I was going to, you know, tell him. And so we're sitting there and we're eating dinner. And time is going by. And my girlfriend at the time is looking at me because she was putting a lot of pressure on me to actually come out. And she was put, and I was like, time was going by and by. And we're like, dinner's like done. I still haven't said anything. Like, I tried a couple of times. It just wouldn't come out. And then all of a sudden, she said, I'm in love with your daughter. And my eyes got big. And my dad, like, it didn't register at first. And then he stopped and he like froze. And he looked at me. And I looked at him and I said, do you want another beer? I'll get that for you. And then I got up and I got another beer.
Awesome story.
And that was my role in coming out.
Yeah.
And my dad told my whole family. So it worked out perfect because my dad usually, he's the one that likes to share information around the family typically. And so he told everybody. And everybody actually didn't end up hating me. And my family is still in my life. And that's how I came out. So Point being is that I understand the feeling that everybody's going to hate you. And I understand that it's so big. And that I understand feeling that way. And none of it was even true.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask you just for a moment to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to take in the awareness that everybody thinks their family's going to hate them when they come out, pretty much. Not everybody, but I would say a fair amount of us. And it's become so much more normal now, you know?
Yeah,
it's just, definitely. It's norm.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, agreed. You know, I mean, if any of my nieces or my nephew came out as gay, there would probably be no issue.
Exactly. Right, and now there's non-binary. And I mean, everything is like, it becomes the new edgy thing. And then it becomes just, okay, now it's more normal. And so now There's a lot of things that are going on right now. It's just like, you just go, okay, well, this is the new is, you know, non-binary or non-gender, if you will. And there's, you know, just a lot of different things going on. And by the way, you know, everything happens for a reason. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a really good thing, and this is why. Like, I want a short, concise way to say this, and it is, Bingo. Give me 1 second. Hold on. Bingo. Bingo. You know, the reality of it is there are actually several reasons why we need gay people right now. Just so you know, like when you stop and think about it for a moment, a few things. Okay. So if you've looked at, are you familiar with overpopulation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So when you stop and think about the population, literally when my, even if we put it in context where, when my grandmother was born, the population was about 2.3 billion people, somewhere in there, right? 2.3 billion. Now it's close to about 8 billion, 7 point something billion people. And if you think about it for a moment, it took all of humanity to get to 2 billion people. Okay. And then it literally went from 2 billion to 8 billion, almost, you know, 7.7 or wherever we are, billion people. It literally, the population tripled in 100 years.
Crazy.
Now, if you think about it for a moment, totally, if it triples again in the next 100 years, we'll literally be what, at 24 billion people. Where would anybody even live? Not only that, but if you look at the carbon footprint with climate change and all of these things, and pollution and housing and the cost of housing, and all of these things are going up because, you know, people are, I mean, there's apartment complexes and buildings going up all of the time, and contractors. I mean, there's just, it just would cause a huge, I mean, problem. And not only that, but what will we do with all the waste and trash? And not only that, but I mean, if we look at, there's droughts and water shortages and stuff like that, how would we even be able to go from almost 8 billion people to 24 billion people? So when we stop and look at it for a moment, the population is key. And I'm not saying that gay people shouldn't have kids. There are plenty of gay people with kids, and I think it's great. But it changes the mindset, and it changes things up. And it's kind of like, I mean, the best way to think about it is this, is that if you look at any species that is overpopulated, they all go extinct. Any one of them. You can look through history, and every single species that is overpopulated has then dried up their food source and has ruined their habitat. So the habitat gets destroyed, the food source dries up, and they all get sickness, and they all get destroyed. They go extinct. Okay. And you would think, well, why wouldn't God or the universe just slow down reproductive, you know, at reproduction? Well, if you think about it, we did have an increase in reproductive issues, and we said, screw you, universe. We're just going to have even more fertility clinics. So now, we have like people who have like tons of kids, like Octomom or different things like that. We have like people using fertility drugs to have, you know, a ton of kids, you know. And I'm want to be clear that I'm not saying that anybody who has issues with getting pregnant or whatnot. I'm not saying that anybody, that means that they shouldn't have kids, because I have seen also, just like I work with the mind, with people, with energy, I have seen plenty of people who just had their mindset off with fertility, and that was the shift that they needed. But either way, point being is that being gay is a great thing, and that even people who are gay, it's great. And then people who are not gay, people who are hetero, should appreciate gay people, because it creates that that difference in different mindset also, if you will. It's kind of like what's good about it is we also have this belief that, you know, for a lot of people, that we should grow up and then we should have like 2.5 kids and the picket fence and all these things. And then when you grow up and all of a sudden you're gay, like it puts like a curveball in everything. Like, wait a second, what now? Right? You don't grow up and get married and have the 2.5 kids. Bingo. And so just for a moment, can I ask you to breathe? All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a quick moment, because I would love to speak to this, just because this can be a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, and I don't want to offend anybody. Now, I want to be clear that this is not all about overpopulation or anything like that. The best way to sum it up is that there are a lot of things going on right now, and each of us is unique in so many ways. And that's really the reality of it all. And so speaking to a few specific things, first and foremost, we are going through a beautiful transformation in our world. You know, just like if we look in history, there was the Industrial Revolution, and then there was the Technological Revolution, you know, where technology just boomed. And now we're going through basically like this human potential revolution, you know, our expanding our consciousness and learning what we're capable of with our minds and really feeling empowered. And I love it. And Human Potential Revolution is actually the name of my company. And, you know, because that's just the period of time that we are in. Now, when you stop and think about it for a moment, where we're having like this potential, human potential expansion, what we're capable of with our mind and our energy and spirituality and all of these things, you know, we start to look at that transformation. There are so many ways that that's also impacting people, you know, at a deeper level, even, you know, for the example of non-binary, you know, not relating to any specific gender. If we look at our culture has been very attached to identifying yourself from your gender. You know, it's like if you're one gender, then you should wear pants and you should act like this and you should do these activities and you should look like this and walk like this and everything else. And by the way, if you're the other gender, you should walk like this and that and whatnot. And when you stop and think about it, it's like you're kind of already defining who you are. Not because spirit said you should wear pants or you should wear a dress or you should look like this or you should look like that, but because our culture says that. And so when people stop identifying so much with their gender and they just start looking at, you know, who am I? And being a spiritual being, there's things that come with that. I mean, you start looking at things in a different way. And from that place, everyone is in a different state of consciousness. And part of the reason that I address this is because I also know people who have been going through different things with their children of, you know, going through the non-binary or different things like that. And they're going, oh my God, how do I even deal with this? And what's going on? And I can't even understand my kid and different things like that. And so, I mean, there's a lot of changes going on a deeper level. And really at this point, the biggest thing that I want you to know is that it's not all about population control. So if you heard that word, I'm just saying that there's an expansion going on there as well, and a transition, if you will, of starting to also look at things in a different way. You know, it's like a pattern interrupt when you grow up and then you're gay and then it's like, oh, well, the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence or whatever it is, it's like, it kind of goes, wait a second, what does life look like? And so the beautiful thing is it's great for anybody, straight, gay, in between, whatever, is really being able to just look at themselves and ask the question, who am I? What, like, and really then embrace each person's own diversity of who they are and who they're becoming and want to become. And, you know, it's, so it's beautiful. And so again, point being is I'm not trying to say certain people should have kids and not kids and blah, blah, blah. I think anybody should have kids who wants to have kids, as long as they're just being conscious about reproduction. I think that's something that is important. And of course, I recently shared that I have a new nephew. And so again, it's not about not having kids either. And oh my God, he is so cute and I love him. But that was also a conscious process. I mean, my brother actually had a reverse vasectomy to be able to have my nephew. So it was very conscious and very planned out. And I love it. And so again, my point in all of this is just saying I don't want to offend anybody. And the easiest way to sum it up is to say that there are so many different shifts and changes and evolution and different things taking place right now on so many different levels that every single one of us is in a unique place. And so again, I just don't want to offend anybody. And I have literally taken multiple women who were dealing with infertility issues or unable to conceive and helped them to shift their energy around it. And they were able to have healthy babies. And I've seen that too. So again, everybody's situation is unique. And I just want to make that very clear so I'm not offending anybody, because that is what's true. So that said, let's go ahead and dive back in with Amanda. Can I ask you to breathe? And what if your family's not mad at you? What if they're not going to be? What if you would actually feel closer to them by not feeling like you need to hide this for 17 years?
Yeah. Yep. I feel like I could go there with my sister, but well, God, if she doesn't know by now, she probably does know. I mean, we are twins after all. And I could probably go there with her family.
Okay. Huh? You could probably go there with her family?
Yeah, probably. But I have real issues with my parents with that, because I just carry a... I just hit my mum, like, yeah, the first time I got with a woman... Well, when I was younger, I guess. And I remember talking to my mum about this girl and just talking about, she was my line manager at work. So there we are. So I was just talking about her to my mum, not saying we were together, but just saying she was gay and stuff. And she just said, that's disgusting. And it just kind of, you know, it sticks. She might not say that about me, but that gives me some kind of benchmark as to what they would think about that. I mean, it was a long time ago, but I don't know. You just mm-hmm. kind of think that that's just like a no-go error. And do I need to put them through it at their age, you know?
Okay. And so I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. You want to know what's interesting? And not funny, but we'll call it interesting. Did you see the rabbi in Israel who was preaching when COVID started? And he said COVID is the disease for gay people, and that gay people will end up with COVID. And did you see him where he was preaching that? And he said, it's because gay people are bad, and that's the reason we have COVID.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, he got diagnosed with COVID.
Oh God, I did see that. Yeah.
Yes. So, and I would say it's because he was out of integrity. His integrity was not right on that, and he shouldn't have been saying that. And I would say that was the energy that then made him attract that. Which is very wrong in what he was saying and preaching. And it wasn't good for people. So either way, so I'm going to ask you to for a moment to breathe. And I want you to think about how she said it was disgusting. And what if she was just trying to discourage that? And what if she doesn't even feel the same anymore? But either way, if I ask you how much distance this has created between you and your mom, how much would you say that is?
Yes, it has created, it's created a distance, because, you know, we can't talk about, you know, I can't really talk about my life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
So question for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, they know my partner. I mean, as much, who is also my, you know, my business partner, my best mate, but, you know, and they adore her, but they don't know that we're together.
Okay. How much do they adore her?
My mum really adores her. My dad, I think, senses something, that there's something more between us, and there's a reticence there, but I think there's also a big cultural difference with my dad and my partner, but not with my mum. They're similar, very similar culturally. They speak French together and stuff. So, but yeah, it does. It gets in the way. Of course, it does get in the way. You know, we can't ever do family things together, really.
All right. So I want to go ahead and pause it just for a really quick moment. You know, she mentioned that if she was out and open with her family, that she could do more things with them. And that's so true. She'd be able to connect more with them and feel less disconnected. So of course, that's very true. Now, additionally, you'll want to think about the energy as well. You know, when we can be authentic with people, then the relationship really has the energy to flourish and to grow deeper and bigger and just even more beautiful between people. But when we're not authentic, if we're holding back a lot, then ultimately we're kind of like holding back the energetic connection. We're slowing that down. And so the relationship doesn't really manifest more situations and more circumstances to flourish and grow. And so we're going to talk more about this just because authenticity, when it's done right, is really key in relationships. So we'll talk more about this at the end, but I just wanted to make that note. So that said, let's go ahead and dive back in with Amanda. Okay. This is what's great. Your mom already loves her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have they known her for?
Probably quite a long time. I can't remember when they first introduced, but yeah, ages. My sister adores her.
Okay. Can you close your eyes for a moment? You hear yourself, right?
I hear myself.
Are you hearing what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. What if it was all okay? What if it was all actually okay? What if nobody was going to hate you? And what if they actually already had an idea? What if that would actually bring you closer? So when you said, should I really do that to my parents? Or, you know, should I really do that to my parents? But question for you, what if you actually opening that up opened up the connection even more? What if it made you closer?
Just feel so uncomfortable.
I understand. Been there, done that.
Yeah, I just rather dig my head in the sand and just kind of go on for another couple of decades, you know.
Okay. Is that what you want?
Well, it gets in the way of me moving forward in certain areas of my life, and I know it does. So, you know, wanting so we live in my apartment, but you know, we want to move into another place together, but we can't do that because I have to create a story around that. Like, you know, like just moving in as, I don't know, just
bingo,
pick up some fiction.
So watch this. Yes. So watch this. Let's say that you made all the money that you wanted to make, right?
Yeah.
How many stories are you going to have to make up of why you guys are roommates then?
Yeah. The classic roommate story.
Exactly. But if you say, oh, well, financially, we're not where we want to be, then it's easy to have the story because you haven't financially got there. So it is advantageous for you to have financial tight instead of being extremely successful, because if you're successful, then you have to make up some stories that you don't want to have to make up.
Gosh.
So it's beneficial for you to stay less, because then you won't have to make up a bunch of stories to then figure out you have to make up a whole bunch more stories. How would you guys even live together?
Yeah. Yeah, and that is the classic story. It's like, yeah, we'd have to move in together because we can't afford it. I mean,
how many times have you used that story before?
A gazillion.
Mm-hmm. Manifested. And now you think about your business.
Yeah.
Like if you say, well, yes, we have to because of money, so we have to live together. Well, you're going to keep manifesting that situation.
Yeah.
Awesome. You could manifest that for another 17 more years. And be-
Yeah.
That sounds great. Great. So I'm going to ask you to stand up for a moment. I want you to notice the level in your foot.
Gosh, I think we could be at a 3.
Mm-hmm. So that was about a 2.4. So we'll go with your 3, but yeah, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Okay. And shoulder, what's your level on your shoulder?
Oh, that's better as well. I know, that's sort of maybe a two or...
Right, moving it.
Just trying
twisting it all around, like, where'd it go?
Well, I know the movements that hurt normally.
Yeah, no, go for it. Go for it. Do your movements.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And bingo. And I wasn't giving you a hard time about twisting it just because people can't hear you twisting it. Thank God, that would probably sound, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, hey, that's what you're doing. So they know.
That's what I'm doing. Cool.
Okay. So notice for a moment, that's down too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how important do you think this topic is?
Super, super important. But now I'm just thinking, like, I'm now worrying about how I go about this.
Okay. Wait a sec. So I'm asking you to close your eyes for a moment. And first and foremost, are you willing to give up the story of we need to live together because we can't afford to live separately? Or how many more times do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, no more.
No. You keep telling that story and let me know how it goes for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want you to think about when you were saying business and how it's been like a struggle. Well, that's because look at what you're struggling against.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I want to go ahead and pause this just for a quick moment to unpack this a little bit further, just so I know that you're tracking with me, and we're going to break it down even more. But at this point right here, what's ultimately going on is that if Amanda is making more and more money and they make more money in their relationship, then they'll be able to have an even bigger house and all of that. And how are they going to justify being roommates still? And so what's happening there is that there's a conflict of, okay, we can make more money, okay, not, and that would affect their relationship. And I do want to say that it is actually common for people to have conflict between their relationship or love and money that's going on at a deeper level in their subconscious mind. And so we're actually going to unpack this a bit more at the end because I don't want to make it too confusing right now. And so we're going to go there. But for now, I just want to make sure that, again, that you're following along with what is going on, and then we'll unpack it further. Now, as we dive back in, I also want to note that I kind of start mumbling as we go in. And you'll have to excuse the mumbling a bit. You've got to remember that as I'm working with people, I'm feeling into their energy. I'm also feeling specifically what it is going to help them create the shift to get rid of the pain so they can release that and heal themselves. And also, if I say the wrong things and say something that could trigger them, that they could actually bring the pain back. So I'm kind of juggling a few things and also bringing some logic into the mix and all of that. So anyway, point being is that as we go back in, I'm going to mumble a little bit for you. But I do recover and we go on from there. So that's where we're going. Let's go ahead and dive back in with Amanda. Okay. Now, if I were you, I would talk to your sister about it and say, you know, and I would do it in a way that, and if you want to, like, I don't want to press you to do anything like that you don't want to do. And so if you don't want to, then another way, I don't know, but to me, lying is never the way. And so then making up a story, then the financial story of saying, oh, well, we have to do it because then financially we have to be roommates, then is creating a story for financial hardship that's got, like, it's got to stay.
Yeah.
And so you're manifesting that. So if I were you, I wouldn't want to manifest that, of course. I mean, you would have to figure out a way to navigate it that was not wasn't a lie. But the other thing is that notice your pain is going down.
Yeah.
So, and of course, obviously, it's not me. I'm just the interpreter. So I'm just taking the information from your body. So give me 1 second. Let me see. If you genuinely weren't telling them because you thought that it would be bad for them. And you had no feelings about it. It wasn't about them not liking you or shame or guilt or hiding. Then it would be different. It's kind of like if somebody doesn't talk to their kids about their adult sex life, because that's just not good for their kids and they don't need to do that. And it's not that they feel shame or bad about it. It's just because it's filtered, right? So there's no internal like, oh, well, we're doing something shameful. We should tell our kids. I mean, that would be messed up, right?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. So if you're genuinely not telling somebody because there's a filter of it's right to not tell them, that's better. But the part of you that's feeling bad and like there's judgment and guilt and all these things, that's what you're going to need to genuinely release. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And when I say genuinely release, I want you to think about what it would feel like for your conscience and your heart and your being to feel good about you, to breathe, to feel good about you, to love who you are, to feel like you are wonderful, you are amazing, and to feel like a good person and that you can just live out loud and be you. If I ask you in your heart how much you're actually wanting to live life out loud, how much would you say that is?
I want to live it like 1,000,000%.
Uh-huh. And if I ask you, due to your relationship situation, how much you feel like you're living life out loud, how much would you say that is?
Probably 60%.
Okay. And if I ask you how much you feel like you're hiding your life, 0 to 10, what's your level?
5.
Okay, so 50%. Okay. Yeah. So if I told you I'm hiding my life at 50%, and by the way, I want to live a life out loud.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. Bingo. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. I'm going to ask you to again bring in the awareness that Ellen has a ton of People's Choice Awards, right? And I know there's some controversy or things going in the news where people are kind of sending some fake information around about her right now. But either way, and that's completely different. My point is, and I don't want to even go there at all, but my point is that even her being gay for all of these years, she's been out and people still loved her despite the fact that she was gay or is gay rather.
Yeah.
Right? So if people even still love her being gay, is it possible that people could still love you?
Yeah.
Is it possible that they've met your partner and now they see a normal, like it feels more normal to them because they already know her and love her anyway?
Yeah.
If you didn't come out, it wouldn't be some major traumatic thing because they've known her for years. They just don't know you guys are partners, relationship partners.
Yeah.
Right? They just think you're business partners, right?
Yeah. I mean, my sister must guess, but it's just unsaid. Yeah.
So if you had a heart-to-heart with her and you talked to her about it, especially because if you think about it, they have misconceptions. A lot of people have misconceptions about gay culture and community. Oh, well, it's not a committed relationship or it's not really love or blah, blah. They have so many different misconceptions. And so now that she's been around for 17 years, you think maybe it'd be safe?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just don't want to be a burden on my sister. She's just got enough on her. Oh, I don't know. I just feel like it's one more. I carry guilt from my past with my sister when we were teenagers. And I just haven't wanted to, she'll worry about this. I think she'll worry. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she won't worry about it.
Why would she worry about it?
Well, she'll worry about, you know, whether I'm going to tell our parents and how they're going to be about it and all that.
Real quick, first and foremost, I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I want to remind you that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And the main thing that I'm asking of you is that you feel really, really, really good with you. Now, they live really, really close, correct? How far away do they live from you? They feel like
5 minutes down the road.
Yeah. So the hiding energy is so intense because they live so close also.
Yeah.
Imagine for a moment if I was hiding something from my next door neighbor.
Yeah.
How intense is that feeling compared to if I'm hiding something from somebody who's in Australia?
Yeah.
For somebody 5 minutes away, that's also intensifying that feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. Bingo. And I want you to think about how out loud you want to live moving forward. Moving forward, how successful you want to be. And how much you want to step into that success.
I do. I really do. It's time.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. Level of pain, 0 to 10.
I think we could be at a 2.
Okay. 2. And so I'm going to ask you to stay standing. Okay. And so, bingo. And so just for a moment, I want you to think about my story that I told you, where I felt like everybody was going to hate me. And I felt like it was the worst thing ever. I was like, oh my God, I felt like everybody was going to hate me. I was going to lose my family, all of these things, right? And it wasn't even true. It wasn't even true, you know? And I was raised from a Lutheran family, you know? And being that my sister's Christian and all that, we still get along. We still get along great. And so what if your family, what if everything was going to be okay? What if you felt free to move forward in life? What if everything was going to be okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and I want you to notice the level of pain, 0 to 10. What's your level?
It's almost gone.
Okay, so it's almost gone, right? And notice you've been consistently standing this whole time. Okay?
Yeah.
Which normally it would go up, right? It would be more intensifying. So, agreed?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Okay, so bingo. So if you think about it, something that we're talking about is right. And so it's not what Brandy's saying, okay? Notice what your body's saying to you. By the way, what if you were free to move forward, to make money, to live with your partner, to buy another house and whatnot, and live with the partner you want to live with, your partner, and free to be you? What would it feel like to feel free to just be you?
Just amazing.
Great. I'm going to ask you to take that in. What would it feel like to feel free to be you? What would it feel like to, there you go, good. To feel free to be you. So I'm going to ask you to breathe in for a moment. And I'm going to suggest a what if. And again, I want you to do what you want to do, okay? Above all. But what if I was to suggest a strategic way of going about it, of talking with your sister and coming to her and seeing how that feels for you. And then seeing from that place what it would feel like to then come out a bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. Bingo. Bingo. I want you to notice for a moment the feeling of hiding. And so I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you to notice what it would feel like to let it go. What if it wasn't even there? What if it wasn't even there? Go ahead.
Such a relief.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to take in that feeling of relief. Ask you to breathe. And ask you to bring in the feeling, what it would feel like to feel safe to live fully. Bingo. All right. So if you want to, first and foremost, notice the level in your foot. What's your level?
Randy, I think it's gone.
nice job. And who did that?
Well, me with a bit of help from you. like a lot of help from you.
beautiful. So I'm going to ask you if you want to come back and sit down so I can see you again. Beautiful. Awesome job with your energy, right? Awesome job.
Thank you. Well, your energy is amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I'm going to ask you to notice the level with your shoulder.
Well, it only hurts when I stretch back there.
Okay, but that's your level right there.
1, 2.
Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to notice that you got that down from 5, 6, and also the foot from a, what, 9, 8, 9, 10, down to gone. Okay. Now this is the thing. I could push it further. We could, but what I want you to do is I want you to think about what you want. Okay. Cause I don't want to push you in a direction. I want you to just digest this information and decide what you want. Okay. But the biggest thing I want you to note is that obviously we, you know, your body is telling you this beyond what Brandy is saying, and you need to figure out, you want to figure out, so you don't need to do anything. It's up to you. It's your life, right? You're powerful. You're the creator. But what your body's telling you is that you'll want to figure out a way to move forward in a way that feels good and isn't feeling shameful or guilty or hiding. Hiding is, there's a feeling of feeling really bad for hiding. And I would also definitely change your story about needing, about having financial hardship to then need to have the partner. Because if I ask you how much you have been working and putting effort and energy into growing your business, how much would you say that is?
So much energy. So I feel so stuck.
Yes. And that's because there's a part of you that doesn't like lying to your family and doesn't know what the story would then be and isn't sure that they would entirely buy the story of that you guys now need to live together for, like, and you see there's a part of you who hasn't been able to come up with another story of why you would need.
That's right. Yeah, totally. Which is why I guess we're not going forward with it, because it's 100% accurate. Mm-hmm.
So from that place, by the way, this is what happens all the time. It's kind of like if somebody goes like this, have you ever done this before? You're like, oh, I can't think of that person's name. What is their name? We have blocks towards something. So what I would say is a lot of times when we shift energy towards something, we have new ideas that'll come in. So in other words, what I would expect is as you shift your energy towards your business ideas and being able to have more money and live together fine and all these things, that what'll happen is either you'll attract a situation that'll help and it'll help change your business, or you'll attract in ideas, or your business will shift or change in a way that then makes it more lucrative. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
I love that. I love your awareness. I love it. I love it. I love it. And so ultimately that's what needs the way to move forward into a different level. Okay.
Yeah.
So great job with your energy. Really, really awesome. I know it was very vulnerable. I get that.
Yeah.
I understand. And bingo. And so I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. And again, I want you to say, I'm safe, and say your name.
I am safe. My name is Amanda.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to bring that in. All right. And so bingo. And I have a question for you.
Sure.
Bingo. Would you like to say your name is Amanda, or would you like to say your other name? Up to you. Just like I was invited, and this is off the record, if you want it to be, but just like I was invited to bring in the name Amanda, I'm also being asked to invite you, and there's no pressure either way.
I feel like it would be a first step of courage. Manuela, Manny.
Manny.
Yeah.
Manny, you're awesome. I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. I love your courage. I love your courage.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. You're welcome. And you're beautiful and so impressive. And I would love to see you and your partner get a vision moving forward of what you guys want and what it feels like literally walking around to feel, just even, I'm not saying to do anything, but just to embody that feeling of feeling what it's safe to be like to be you and to move forward and have a vision that opens up moving forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. We're going to make some changes. Got to make some changes. It's time.
You're amazing. You're amazing. And actually, I have chill bumps everywhere with that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thanks, Brandy.
You are so, so welcome. One last thing. I'm going to ask you to take your shoulder and show me. And what's your level of pain?
A little bit of discomfort, but I wouldn't call it pain.
Notice that took the rest of it out when you actually said your name. Courage to move forward.
Yeah. Just as well I did that then.
Just as well you did that. And I'm going to ask you, remember, your emotions are important. So I want you to, yes, is going to take courage, but I want you to just support yourself, be kind to yourself, feel good. And I want you, first and foremost, the biggest thing. So I want you to re-listen to this recording. And I also just want you to start embodying that feeling. And I love your courage. I love that you just did that. Beautiful. And I want you to start just embodying that feeling of saying, you know what? I'm ready to live out loud fully. I'm ready to just be myself and feel that. And just kind of just take that feeling in and see what comes up for you. And if you need any further support, let me know. I want you to feel good and supported, but I also want you to know what your body's saying, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. Amazing.
Yeah, you are amazing.
You're amazing.
Thank you, love. Aren't we? We're amazing together, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful, beautiful. I adore you, and it has been such a pleasure connecting with you.
Yeah, likewise, Brandy.
Thank you so much. I'll see you later.
Yeah, take care.
Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye. All right, so let's go ahead and bring everything together. There are a lot of pieces, you know, we talked about authenticity, and we'll bring that in even more. Also pieces with money and relationships. So we're going to talk about that, and also a quick follow-up from Manny as well. And, you know, I have to say, I have so much respect for her. I love that she said her name. You know, I opened the opportunity for her to do that, which I'm the one that ultimately, you know, of course, invited her to change her name in the beginning because I knew it was going to be a stuck point and that her pain wouldn't release because she had so many feelings of feeling nervous and feeling like that's where we were going. So we wouldn't have been able to actually get the results and without shifting that. And so it was really beautiful to get her to that point and then her to be like, you know what, just to have her breakthrough. And I love that she said that. What an incredible woman. Just so much respect for her in having the courage to have her breakthrough right there, you know. And of course, I didn't want to push her, so I would have had my team somehow figure out, you know, a way to go back and edit it or delete it out or something. But it worked out perfect. And I'm so impressed with her. And she also sent a follow-up, which is beautiful because, you know, this was initially released over the last couple weeks. And so she sent in an email and it was just super loving and sweet, but specifically to her follow-up, she says, "The past few weeks have been a whirlwind of unraveling with small steps and larger ones and some insidious actions that have become second nature to one in hiding, that have been noticed and dealt with. Conversations had that needed to be had, and guess what? Yeah, it's true. No one hates me, haha." So I love that. And she goes on to say, "And work changes also, just driving the car differently." I love it, I love it. I love that she's embracing the change. And she goes on to say, "But feelings of freedom are the most empowering of all. So much energy and power moving forward from dark to light. The eyes had become accustomed to the dark without really knowing it." And I love that she says this in her email because that's the same thing that I experienced during my healing, is really just realizing that my eyes had become accustomed to the dark, or said another way, my mind had been filtering in the dark, even though I wouldn't have identified it as being such at that time. So I love that she says that and is in that, in the middle of all of that. And as far as her healing, she goes on to say that she went for a run and that there was a little pain there that was pretty low. And when she felt the pain, she shifted her mind to release the pain. So in other words, point being is that she's done a great job at embodying this, and there's still a bit more to go. So a little bit of the pain came back when she went for a run, but it was low, and she used her mind to shift it, which is awesome. And she goes on to say she's planning to have the conversation with her sister and some other things. So she's still also in processing, but for her to keep the pain and get it that low, or even when it comes up, to shift it so it's gone again, is awesome. And so she's in process. And so I wanted to share that with you to say, you know, yes, it left, and there's embodying the change that's occurring and that she's doing it. And it's super impressive. So I love that. And I love watching her embody that authentic change. And actually, speaking of authentic and authenticity, you know, we started to touch on really being authentic in relationships. And I want to make a clear distinction here for a moment, because sometimes what'll happen with people in effort to try to be more authentic is they start sharing a lot of trauma. So it ends up kind of becoming like trauma bonding. And that's not what you want to do with authenticity, because what'll happen is if you start trauma bonding, you can actually start manifesting a lot more trauma. I've literally had people say to me before, you know, who had been through a lot of trauma, you know, one of the deepest ways they feel most connected to others is if they can really share their deepest wounds and hurts. And I was like, oh, you don't want to do that. That will actually energize them to manifest even more. And so just wanting to really make that distinction, because that is a misconception by a lot of people. And ultimately, what you want to do is really share authentically, but work on sharing the positive. And, you know, it's interesting because I've had people before where they'll say, yeah, well, I shared my trauma and all of that. I'm like, well, why don't you share some of your dreams? What would you like? What would your dream be that you'd really like to share? And then when it comes to that, they're like, well, you know, that's really personal. It feels a bit uncomfortable. But they'll share the trauma and all of that. And so instead, tilting that way and say, what are some of your dreams? What are your passions? What's the positive authenticity that you can share? Being in love with a partner, you know, feeling that, but breaking through and really being authentic in a positive way. And so that's something you'll want to explore. And again, something you'll want to remember is that if you're connecting at that quote-unquote deep level of trauma bonding, then you'll want to discontinue that, because again, that can manifest more and more negative things in your life, and you won't want to go there. You know, if you have been, go, okay, delete, get rid of that. You don't want it, of course, more of the positive. And so shifting on to that, speaking of positive, of thinking about money and relationships, of course, you want it all. You want to have a full, abundant life, which means feeling loved, feeling healthy, happy, beautiful relationships, plenty of money, resources, you know, to be able to live this life fully. And so on that note, some of the things that I see with money and relationships is I'll have people who have beliefs that say, okay, well, you know, if I have a lot of money, then people won't actually love me. They'll love the money, or people won't like me at all. I mean, that's another one. And that was one that I dealt with. I was like, you know, I grew up feeling like people who had money that were bad, and that, okay, well, if I have more and more money, that people will hate me. And then I was like, well, wait a second here. Look at Oprah. People don't hate Oprah because she has money. And so when you stop and think about it for a moment, we'll end up with different beliefs that can affect relationships, even some other ones when it comes to relationships that I see. I've seen people who have also said, you know, as soon as I make more money, I'm going to leave my spouse. And they have that belief, but then inside, they have mixed feelings about leaving their spouse. Part of them wants to stay, or maybe part of the week they want to stay with their spouse, and then the other part of the week they want to leave their spouse or whatever. And what'll happen is that because they say, okay, well, as soon as I make money, I'm going to leave my spouse, then it creates a block towards money right there. Or even another that I've seen is people saying, okay, well, I'm going to leave my spouse as soon as I make more money. And there's also kids involved in the relationship. And then so what happens is there's a part of them that wants to leave and they convince themselves it's better to leave. And simultaneously, they feel guilty or bad for making the change with kids and whatnot. And so it becomes a lot of mixed emotions. So you can see where I'm going with this. And again, you know, just like I work with people with health, I have VIP people that I work with as far as building businesses and making money and shifting in alignment with money and all of that. And I see people and work with people making millions and help them to radically shift from like losing millions to making millions, different things like that. And I've done that with multiple people and help people even become millionaires. And so all kinds of blocks we'll see in the mind, and there can be many when it comes to relationships and money. And so I just wanted to give you some food for thought on that note, since that is a topic that comes up in this one. And so maybe that is connected to your health, maybe it's not, but some food for thought as you're working on expanding your mind and your life. So that said, again, guys, I know that there is a lot of information in this episode, and I expect that some of it will apply to you and some of it probably won't, but just take a few nuggets and just kind of bringing those into your consciousness and absorbing those in your life. And of course, on the next episode, we'll take it to the next level. I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. I love connecting with you. And if you love the show or you learned something, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and make sure to share it with the people around you. The more you share it, the more we can change our world for the better. Also, I love hearing from you. If you'd like to send me any questions or comments, please visit me at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctor. Instead, you want to continue to work with them and make it your goal to blow their mind with what you are capable of with your mind. Thank you.